What's up, Westworld fans? You're here for Season 2, Episode 6, Phase Space. We're going to talk about New Teddy, we're going to talk about William and his daughter, and we're going to talk about the shocking reveal at the end of the episode. Stay right here.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Well, we're still in the Shogun world.
Yes,
so
that's right.
I was about to say Shoujo, and I'm like, that's a very different kind of show.
Very different. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Westworld After Show. I'm here with Carrie Lane.
What's up?
My wonderful co-host. We're going to break down everything from this episode. Real quick, I do want to say, little disclaimer, I've only seen it twice. We tape this 2 after-hours it airs. Don't kill me in the comments, please. We're trying our best. All right. Fantastic episode. I am blown away by all the amount of information they revealed this episode.
This
and also still
dense.
Raising so many questions. What is your quick summary?
Summary of the episode?
Summary of how you feel.
I'm like, whoa. It was nice to get a lot more information, like you said, but we've got more questions. Some stories were kind of wrapped up, possibly, and some things I kind of saw coming, so
cool.
I was like, all right, I'm digging
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I definitely had some things that I saw coming, but there was quite a few things that caught me for a loop.
Yeah. I don't know. I just try to not get too invested because it's too crazy. So I didn't have any like moments, but there were like, oh, which is like, yes.
I was really just surprised with the amount of plots that they covered.
The
pace still felt really good. Mm-hmm. It felt like the editing was right in the right spots. Definitely fix that Game of Thrones formula that sometimes doesn't work so well. So we're going to try to speed through this, kind of, because there's a lot to cover this episode. So first, we're just going to start with Hale and Stubbs. We see them arriving at the Mesa. I'm not sure exactly how this happens. She is in tow with Abernathy already, right? So is Stubbs just stumbling upon her there because he's running from the Ghost Nation?
The last time we saw him was, the Ghost Nation.
Right, so
and
I believe that's what happened. I believe we're just seeing him arrive
and
at the Mesa.
She points out that it's been about a week.
Yes.
And I know people have been like, well, it's this amount of time. We finally have a character who's like, it's been about, which
for
technically
this,
that's not that specific. For this moment.
For
them.
Moment, yes.
Right there. Yes.
Yes. Which is very important, given how many timelines we're seeing.
Well, it depends who your narrator is, essentially, in that scene.
Right.
Of
I also want to point
context.
Out that we see the guy who was, like, the other security captain who said, these are my best men, is super dead, as Stubbs sees.
You know.
So she finally reconnects with Stubbs. She has Abernathy in tow, takes him into some other secret room that he's never been before, and actually calls for extraction. She's got the package. They receive the message.
Although the line, it was so funny when he's like, so you've been able to do this whole time, and you're just going to like let people die? And she's like, oh, you're catching on quick.
Yeah. I love the line that she has where like she's like, you know, he's like, don't you think the guy that you hired to secure the park should know? She's like, yeah, by the way, you're doing a great job of keeping the park secure.
Good luck on that recommendation.
Yeah, on your review. Yeah, that's gonna go very poorly for you. So she's got Abernathy, and you know, he's still acting crazy. So she's like, I've gotta figure out a way to keep him from running away. And she takes him downstairs to get bolted to this table thing, which is brutal.
Which was interesting, though, because Stubb was having some major sympathy moments. And normally he doesn't seem to care too much about the host. But in this moment, just them even being rough with Abernathy, he's like, hey, is that really necessary? And Hale is like, it's an object. She does not care at all. We've had that actor in, and so I was feeling bad watching. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
And it's just sad because even though we know they're not like quote unquote like real people, it's still someone in distress. Mm-hmm.
I do want to point out some possible symbolism. One of our producers, Steven, not Steven the Booth, other Steve, wanted me to point out that it's similar to some Jesus allegories being nailed down.
A little bit.
There is a theory that there is something in Abernathy's head that whatever it is in Abernathy's head that's obviously very important is important to Dolores also, and somehow in freeing the host. So he might be kind of like a sacrificial Jesus type character.
Possible.
But it's kind of remains to be seen exactly what's in his head.
Yeah.
So I think it kind of that we'll see how accurate that is after we get more information when that develops. And then finally with them, we get to see Coughlin arrive from their airdrop extract.
He was so funny.
I love him. He's one of my favorite character actors. And it's nice, a nice fresh reminder that Stubbs' first name is Ashley. And do not forget that. It's very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to move on to William with his daughter. We last saw them with the daughter just pulling up being like, "Hey, Dad, what's up?" And it seems that she has been getting ignored by him since then, as he doesn't believe that she's real.
Which is very understandable with his mindset, too.
Because
she's like, "Oh, we're talking now." And he's like, "Oh, Ford, this is really low of you." I like her reply. No.
I mean, given...
I understand where he's coming from.
It's like, kind of crazy, but given the things that he's seen, like, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Exactly. Side note, we do have a live chat going if you guys are watching this live on YouTube. A lot of you are talking. It's great. We'll be pulling some of that as we get to those moments within the episode. And if you're watching it later, please comment down below.
Yes, please. Rate us.
Which you do a great job on that,
yes, too. If you listen on iTunes, also please give us 5 stars. Give us a subscription. Show us all the love. We appreciate it. Give that love right back to you. Also, if you have theories, especially after this episode, of what you think is going to happen, we are going to do a fan theory segment at the end. So kind of save that, I would say, in the chat, and then I'll let you know, give you some time to type it out, and then we'll kind of discuss through that at the end of the episode.
Start laying that simmer.
All right.
We're going to pull it out of your brain like poor Bernard.
So we see them, you know, eventually they... Well, first of all, she's a badass. Like, clearly she learned how to handle herself in the park. She recognizes that the arrows aren't Ghost Nation arrows.
And she's been going in the park since she was a child.
Right. It makes a lot of sense.
Okay. Well,
we learned that Raj World was her favorite place also, too. So they sit down and they have this discussion. And,
It was kind of nice. It was all like family tension conversation.
Right. Yeah. Well, especially even just starting it with like, "Oh, you're drinking now? Like, you don't drink in the real world."
Yeah.
But we get a great line from her where she says, "You know, at least I know you still know the difference," which is, I think, very deep and kind of glossed over because this is a very heavy conversation. But then we get to this part where I think there's going to be a lot of question about this line, where she's talking about the elephants and he says, "Oh, you were scared of the elephants." And she goes, "No, I wasn't. That was Mom." And so we were talking about this earlier. I think that was him testing her, like almost like a fidelity test to see if she really is a bot by Ford or if she's not. And I think that after that point, that's why he gets so sentimental, because I think he really realizes, "Oh shit, this is actually my daughter who hasn't talked to me in God knows how long, and here she is."
Yeah.
But I also think clearly he still makes the decision to play her because he's gone in the morning.
Yes.
Off on his journey. Do you think that is because he isn't convinced that she's a bot, or do you think that he is trying to protect her?
I'll go with the trying to protect her, and I feel that scene could easily be read both ways in terms of, one, it was his test, like, let's see how well you remember these details. But that seems like the more interesting answer, a more simple answer, but very plausible one, is that it just shows how little he paid attention to his family and how little he remembers of who they really are. Like the child going and telling the parent, like, "Really, that's not really what happened. How could you not really know? Let us know what you in people watching. What do you think? Was that a test, or is he just a bad dad and he forgot details?" Or both. It could be both.
Yeah, it could be both.
Could be somewhere in between.
Yeah, it could be. And he's with like, this show,
okay,
I have a feeling that the truth lies somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he leaves her, you know, to go off on his journey, and I'm really curious to see what she's going to do next. I also want to point out, I almost forgot, she lies to him about what she's there in the park for, because she had that book. She was looking for something.
Yes, this is true. She didn't tell him that.
Right, so there's another
she's
mystery.
She's omitting information. It's not exactly lying.
Thank you, Chris Nolan and Lisa Joy, for giving us another question as soon as you give us another answer, of course. And then, you know, we see William get attacked by Ghost Nation, which kind of ends undefined.
Yeah.
We don't really know what happens with that, but I can't wait to see.
I do like that. That was a bait. Yes.
So next we're going to talk about Dolores and Teddy.
Hold on. Too. We did need to point out that she purposefully was like, "I am taking you out with me." Supposedly that's her motive. I mean, The Notebook is totally a valid thing, but that's what she keeps reiterating, right. And is like, I need to take you out of this, and I'm right. not going to let you just die.
Right.
Which confirms the other theory I had way back when, too, if he's, you know, it's the game and wants it to kill him. A little bit.
Yeah, but at least I mean, from her she even says that, like, some twisted robot suicide. She mm-hmm. says that, especially now that they shoot to kill. Yeah, that's definitely something to think about.
Yeah, everyone's getting excited about other points.
We're getting there, I promise. I'm trying to get through this because there's so much to talk about.
Davey in the chat thinks you're reading into it too much.
Into which part, Davey?
I think we're right now of her motives, because we were talking about Emily's motive.
But they wouldn't have showed us all that stuff with The Notebook and her looking for...
It could be both, though. There could be multiple... She could have multiple motives going on, like her personal motive of getting her father out, and then something more.
I think we'll see. I think it's going to be another big... twist.
Yeah.
Anything else about that?
No, that was the other right. big point that I noticed.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, also, that was a kind of like not really a big deal, but it was like, oh, and she points out that Charlotte Hale invited her.
Yes. And that's...
was interesting.
But is that, like, how far is the lie go? Is that a lie too?
True. I don't know.
Like,
it was... Everything matters and nothing matters at the same time.
Maybe
kind of
Hale
thing, you know?
Did invite her because she's also part of the secret.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Okay, I don't want to go too far. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're back in Sweetwater. That's all torn up.
Yes,
and we're back with Dolores and Teddy. And we last saw Teddy. He was getting reprogrammed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't have the images. I wanted to get them for you, but I'll do better next time. Forgive me. But if you look online, there's a couple images you can find of the actual screenshot of them changing.
Her stats,
right? Yeah. And you can see that, like, his compassion and, like, his thoughtfulness and stuff like that is all the way down, where, like, his cruelty and his aptitude and all mm-hmm. these other things are way out of whack. So now he is super ultra killer cruel guy, and I am super here for it. I'm ready to count to do a counter for how many times Teddy ruthlessly kills like an almost innocent person.
Yeah.
Because, man, did he get killed so many times. It's time that he got some payback.
I just kind of like the almost, not really a flip-flop, but first Dolores seems like, oh, I like this new Teddy. Like, she totally seems to be digging it, almost more attracted to him. But as the episode progresses, she seems to be having second thoughts of maybe really? This wasn't a good idea.
I think even right away when he just shoots the guy.
That, yeah.
I think right
away.
But
when she first sees him and is talking to him, she's kind of like, right, oh, okay, you're better.
Well, because he even says in the saloon, like, I have the crow written down. He says, you fixed me, basically. Yeah. And he spins it in that positive way where she's like, oh, you know, I did do a good thing.
ABK88 says, Dolores is having second thoughts a bit too late. Yes.
Yeah, the damage is done for sure.
Yes.
Also, I want to point out I'll get to that. So,
a momentary thought, side note, but still, a couple people are bringing up maybe the idea that William is a host. I know, right? It's one of those, but a lot of people are kind of like, yeah, but that would be not necessarily a good thing.
I don't think so. Because of all the interaction, especially what we've already seen with him with Jim Delos earlier, and knowing that that was only like a week before mm-hmm. everything went down, it would be really weird for within that week for them to replace him. It would also be really weird him to be in there doing the fidelity test.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, with the show, you never know. So, so we see them now. They've got the train all ready to go. They're loading it up. Teddy executes the guy because he can see from the get-go that he's not going to tell them where they need to go. What did you think when you did you know where they were going to take the train? Did you have an idea?
No.
Yeah,
I wasn't thinking about it. I was like, the train, cool.
I was thinking the train was going to go to the weapon or to the place that mm-hmm. William was talking about earlier in the season. But I guess the train is going to the Mesa instead, which makes sense because that's where like the main, it seems like the main control hub for everything is. We know the cradle is there, as we learn later.
Mm-hmm. But apparently it's a bit more fortified than I thought it would be.
Well,
it's
whole mountain.
Oh yeah. It's
is
multi-level,
a
but I do like that it hits essentially possibly blows up and Elsie somewhere else in that ish vicinity.
It's like a rumble.
Oh, hey,
what's that
right.
noise?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was really cool of them to use the train, especially since we see it later on in the episode. It's nice to see the train again. Like, it's just a very powerful image, I think, in terms of like coming in and out of the park and them using it to crack the Mesa to almost like break out is, I think, just really great writing and like super symbolic, and also just like makes sense from a strategic standpoint. It's just, it all comes together so well.
Portable weapon,
right? Before we continue, I want to tell you guys about something that is very near and dear to me. Okay. I care about you guys, and I want you to have fun and learn and grow in all areas of your life. And the way that you're going to do that is with a fantastic podcast called Conversations with Maria Menounos. It's hosted every Friday. You can find it on iTunes. And here's the secret. It's absolutely free. See, Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews. She talks to tons of professionals and gives you a really inside perspective on how they got there, their process. It's very interesting. You'll learn a lot. They talk about health and wellness, career advice, relationships, finances. And like I said, it's absolutely free. So you can just go to iTunes and subscribe to Maria Menounos. And make sure when you do that you rate and comment and tell them that us, Westworld, Carrie and Nate, that we sent you there, because we appreciate the love. Again, that's Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition. Make sure you check it out. All right, and back to the imaginary world of Westworld. We're back in Shogun Land.
Yes.
I thought we were done. I thought they were just going to
cut to... we're not going to do anymore. That's true.
Mm-hmm. I was so glad that we got, like... Not only did we get, like, resolution for the characters, but, like... a sword duel.
We get the double sword that Musashi
legend. Did you hear that, Steve?
Oh, yes, I did.
Oh man, it was so awesome. Yeah, we get this great fight. So they arrive back into town after we see Akane cut out Sakura's heart,
which at first I loved how they film it, because I was worried, oh no, she's doing seppuku.
I thought she was killing herself too.
It totally
made
sense.
And then I saw the heart and I was like, did she just cut out her own effing heart?
And then she's that badass. Yeah, so you go, oh, like, no,
she didn't. So we see that gory mess. And then they come back into Japanese Sweetwater just to find that it's, of course, occupied with some of the Shogun's men still. Mm-hmm. And we get this fantastic duel between this guy. I have Tanaka, Musashi and Tanaka. And I got to say, I wasn't crazy about it at the start. Few choreographed moves were not great. Sorry. I watch a lot of fighting movies, especially a lot of samurai movies. Now, after he pulls the sword and starts like really moving, it gets a lot more interesting. Yes. And then, of course, he cuts off his hand after he stabs him in the arm. Oh, it's so brutal.
It was a good fight scene.
It's so brutal.
Very exciting.
And then it ends with Harakiri, which is like...
You know, he's helping him. He's helping his fellow man out.
The level of detail that they go into Shogun World is just awesome.
Well, because there's also that moment before the fight where Maeve and Akane are talking about, well, wait, you should do something. You help save them. And Maeve's like, no, we deserve to choose our own fate. And I love how that line essentially gets turned back on her later, where Akane and get a little bit ahead, but Musashi is like, no, we're going to stay.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, we deserve to choose our own fate, even if we're going to die.
Yeah, I think it's very important to show. I think that's kind of what her whole arc this season is showing her that you have to let people choose.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's kind of been getting that, but she's still working at it, because she still wants certain things. And she wants also, especially when she's looking at Akane, she sees herself, right? Yes. So she wants to protect her. She wants to bring her on and wake her too.
Herself to get out. And so seeing Akane stay stuck
right.
is hard
but
for her to watch.
It's an important distinction that they get to choose.
Yes.
Yes, we get Dragon Lady. Yeah.
It's the Dragon Lady.
Armistice's Edo period doppelganger.
Yes.
She gets kind of like a little nod from Musashi to Hector, kind of like a, you know, take care of my girl kind of thing. It was so cool. I can't wait to see more.
I was glad she went with them.
Yeah.
I want to see her in the other world too.
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to miss Musashi, but I kind of had a feeling that they were going to stay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it made sense that he was, I mean, especially within,
he doesn't
like,
have that exterior motive to go explore the world.
Well,
Akane
I think they are kind of I don't know how far, but I would say that they're somewhat on that path to being awoken.
Yeah, they're not there yet.
And I think he's part of that. It's in his cornerstones, all that honor, that samurai stuff. Mm-hmm. So he really was not about to leave his home, especially not if Akane is staying, because he loves her.
Aww.
Yeah. So they leave Shogun World because Strassmore leads them to... I'm sorry, Sizemore leads them to Moon Lake, the place where Sakura is from that I forgot the name of because I'm great. And we find their door, their entrance back into the tunnel system is actually one of the body chutes that they use. Ugh. And imagine, like... At least the body shoots at Westworld, like, it's just, like, gunshots and stuff. Shogun World, it's like, hacked limbs and, like, dismembered
bones. It has not been cleaned.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. There is no...
Snowflake.
I would just stay there, captured. Thank you. Shout out to the chat. You're the real MVP. Snow Lake is what the place is called.
It did look very pretty and peaceful.
It did. It really was. It was... And, that reminds me. When we first cut to the Shogun World stuff, and there's that... a gliding shot of like the wreckage and stuff as we come up to see Maeve. The first few seconds, it looks like hills and valleys with like water and stuff. I don't know if that was maybe just me, but I thought that was an incredible shot because I was like, oh, cool, we're getting an overhead. Oh my God, it's not an overhead, it's the battle. Anyways,
Cool they looked with all the blood on them as they walked around, how they were so kind of beautiful. Yeah, like the blood the matched her kimono. Stuff.
I know, it was like, it was too perfect.
Yes.
We get to see everybody gets all decked out in their proper Western attire. Right.
They apparently got the showers that Elsie seems to have access to. You guys have talked about it in the comments. We've talked about it.
We're not talking about that.
Elsie was...
We're not talking about that. Okay, so Maeve finally gets her homecoming, what she's been waiting for. She tells everyone to stay behind. Don't worry, I got this. I know this place.
I need to do that on my own.
Walks down.
Which makes sense.
Sees her daughter. Tells her this story with her doll about, you know, don't worry, mommy loves you. And mommy's super strong now and can control minds. Only to find out you're not her mommy anymore. You've been replaced as she got rotated. Which, of course, like, it was kind of... Were you surprised?
No.
I was kind of surprised.
I was like, wow, you're assuming you're
going to be... should have known.
Yeah.
Because we've seen that. We see that everywhere else.
How many of you were surprised? Please leave comments down below.
It's probably just only...
No, it's one of those, you're in her mindset where she has this goal. I'm going to get my daughter
really
back.
I was actually really wrapped up in it.
It's sad.
Was pretty emotional. Yeah.
I knew it's probably going to happen because it's like, you're assuming everything stayed the same. But if you've been gone, my thought was, how is the daughter still even alive if she was by herself? Of course they rotated someone else in. But I like that she's... forgets the other lady and takes the kid and goes. And then I'm thinking, well, wait, is Maeve gonna change the girl's core programming to be like, I'm your mother, or try to convince her and essentially adopt this child, which is almost more accurate because she's not like she gave birth to the child, but she probably has memory of it.
I don't think either is gonna happen, but we'll talk about that.
These are my like weird things when I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, huh, okay.
So as you said, the loop plays out as we would expect it to, and Ghost Nation arrive to attack, which is again something that we're gonna have to talk about in predictions because I have a question about that. So Ghost Station arrives, eventually the posse comes in and saves them, but we see that Akecha is there, as we saw in the flashback, of course. And he says to her, I have the quote here somewhere, bear with me. He says, come with us, we are on the same path. What does it mean?
Well, he could. They are a different kind of awoken,
but
too.
They're out there saving humans. We don't know that they're awoken.
They could be.
They could
different
be.
Different kind, maybe.
Yeah.
You're like,
I mean,
no.
I mean, they could be.
Yeah, chat was also... not really surprised back to that, too.
Yeah.
You guys are on
I
it.
Know, it's just me.
No, I think it's okay, very understandable. It's okay. You're in Maeve's
I was
point of view.
Feeling emotional. I was in my feelings.
Yes,
okay.
Well, Just Sheldon says Ghost Nation are the only good guys. LOL. Yeah.
I mean, technically, so far, that's probably the only sound argument you could make. I feel like I want to say Bernard is good, but
what path is it? I think she's there is a similar path to maybe helping the hosts or other awokenness. I mean, obviously, they're not killing the humans, but still, it's unfortunate that she's still in her loop essentially of her past of freaking out and like that PTSD of it. I really wanted her to be like, can you please explain? Like, take a moment and be like, what do you mean? Or even that, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. She's just or like, even just use her mind powers on the Lakota to be like, hey, stop. what's going
on? I was waiting for that. Like, they're all running down and her be like,
but she
no.
was, she was like,
no, it's totally a PTSD. Yeah, like, no,
she's literally in yep. shock. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't want to speed through this, but we gotta, there's so much, like, we haven't even touched the episode, really.
Well, hold on real quick with the Ghost Nation. Michael Balsamo says the chief is one of the first hosts, like Dolores and the lady that fights. Yeah.
Akecha.
So he's awoken.
Akecha. And he says at some point that we see Ghost Nation when they refer to him saying that he's the first of them.
Yeah.
Okay. So Bernard and Elsie.
Yes.
They arrive at the Mesa through the same tunnel that we see later on. Yep. Earlier on, which we saw, and we also see later again with the tunnel, which actually was earlier or is later. The tunnel, that's got to be later, right? With the train, because the explosion and stuff. But then they say the fire. I don't know. I'm really lost. Okay.
I think it could be later. Now, quite a few of you in the chat, please bring up those thoughts you had. A lot of people are noticing what color his memory was, what color his brain was when they pulled it out in
it's
reference to what
one.
He picked up before.
It's not red.
Ah, some people are saying,
it's not
so
red.
Please say that again.
I watched it twice, and I'm telling you it's not red. Because the first time I was like, but the second time I made a point to look at it. It's not red. It's just because there's a lot of red in that room, and the pool like reflects it. It's not red. Trust me. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they arrive at the Mesa. They get into the offices. Elsie gets on her terminal and tries to figure out what's going on and finds out that the cradle is acting almost as like it's alive and is actively stopping the different hacks that QA is applying to try to regain control.
Kind of like AI.
Yeah. And I've got another quote here.
Yeah. So he pockets the red orb. Thank you, the chat. And then his was more a darker color.
Yeah, it's like a black blue kind of a thing. So she said, these are a couple things she says about the cradle. Mm-hmm. She says that it contains all of the host backups. Mm-hmm. There's no remote access. And she says it's stopping all the QA hacks, which we got that. Also, she's saying that it seems like there is an AI in the cradle. So the only way to access the cradle, because there's no remote access, they have to go there.
And who might that AI be, which we'll get to.
So they go to the cradle. For those of you who have been looking at the chat online and reading a lot of theories, and you know, if you've gone to the Daedalus website, they've kind of teased the cradle and stuff. Man, was I excited to finally see it. And do you have an idea? Here's the best, from my understanding, the cradle seems, it's almost like a massive hard drive, basically, that's running a simulation of all of the host's brains. So
cool.
it's not their actual brains that are in there, but it's kind of like a copy, almost like a cloud save. Mm-hmm. So like if they went wrong, there would be a way to reset them with what they are supposed to be core-wise. So everybody's in there. So they find the cradle, and the only way for them to really figure out what's going on and who is controlling it is to get inside. Mm-hmm, and Elsie's not a host, so Bernard, being the resident host, gets his head cut open and his little ball taken out of his cupcake and put into the cradle. I want to point out, when he gets in the cradle, the screen gets letterboxed, right?
People in the chat notice that one, too.
Very important notation. We'll get back to that in a minute.
What's a nice visual cue for you, the audience, that it's changed?
It's even more important than that, because so he gets in, walks around, everything is normal. It's all the stuff we've seen before. Everybody's there.
It's on the train.
Except we see, what is that? That dog hasn't been there before. Where have we seen that dog? Oh, right. It's Ford's dog, because Ford is in the cradle. What? So, I mean...
Well, that was our kind of... We did talk about that possibly before. Like,
right.
How alive is he within this space? Because how literal are you able to upload yourself and your entity to this server?
So this was my guess when we first saw this and we learned that he created a human control unit, was that it was Ford. Because he was sent down there, and the only person really that we know of that was controlling Bernard when he was not in his own control was Ford. So it made sense for it to be Ford as part of his plan.
And we get to see Anthony Hopkins again. A lot of people are like, oh, I hope he comes back. And too good to waste.
Also, for people who are questioning the validity of this, if you go to the Daedalus chat for the Delos destinations, and there's a thing where you can interface with Aiden, which is like their AI. Mm-hmm. It's like now been taken over, and you can ask Ford how he got in there, and he says that Bernard had him in his pocket. So they basically confirmed it. We'll see if they actually confirm it on the show. I'm not sure if I would technically consider that canon, but I mean, I would be very surprised for it not to be.
Mm-hmm. Though, I mean, good point. Yes, but no. Or I'm like, I don't really care. Xavier says he's not technically back, as we've yet to see him in person, only a reflection.
No, we see him. If you watch it again the second time, when Bernard steps in, he's out of focus, but he's sitting there at the piano in the back of the shot. You just don't see it because you're not looking at it. But when you watch it the second time, he's literally just sitting right there. And the second time I watched it, I was like, oh my God, he's just sitting right there.
He's just chilling.
He's just sitting in the background. And then you see the reflection when they finally reveal him.
But... Well, and then there is promo for next week. We didn't see it, though. So if there's anything else, we didn't see that, guys.
I watched it.
But I didn't get to see the promo.
I don't want to talk about that. Yeah. There's enough here in the actual episode.
Yes, this one.
Okay, so that's kind of the recap. That's everything that happened, except for the intro scene, which we saw.
A lot of you were bringing that up. And there's a
reason why I saved this for last, because we see Arnold and Dolores in a room, as we saw earlier. So this is, I'm assuming this is the same flashback, or at least the same time period when we saw in the first episode, with them talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that it's a fidelity test. For not Dolores, mm-mm. but for Arnold.
Yes.
And she says, well, that's not how he would have said that. The quote is, he didn't question his agency mm-hmm. of whether or not he should kill us. Or I'm sorry, he didn't question if he could. He questioned whether or not he should.
Yes.
Now,
quite a few people in chat are bringing that one up of when that moment actually happened in the timeline of this world.
Yeah.
Because that's open to interpretation a little bit.
It is.
Some people are like, no, it's this. It's like, but that makes it more interesting.
I have no idea where to place that at this point. But what I will tell you is I'm 90% sure that the same song that Ford is playing on the piano when Bernard finds him is the same song that Dolores is playing when she is in the Mariposa Saloon earlier in the episode with Teddy. I'm 90% sure. And, I mean, do we have to question, is that Ford in the fidelity test controlling Dolores? Because if he's in the cradle, he could simulate that without having to...
I don't think so, but that's an interesting idea.
It's because, like, why else? Because in order to do the fidelity test, it has to be the same person that had the conversation.
Okay, this is interesting. Laura Aldred says, in the chat, says, Bernard is in a sort of god mode in the base story when he links in. So it's like him walking around. I think, is that what you're referring to, of watching the world?
I don't think he's. I'm not sure. But I'm not sure what the implication of being of like hooking yourself into the cradle that way versus just being one of the things uploaded, because we don't know how exactly Ford was uploaded.
Yes, a couple of people are suggesting this is in the future. That the Bernard and Dolores conversation.
Yeah, it could
is
be.
Future.
I think that's what the assumption was. Okay, so let's. Let's do this. We're going to do our predictions really quick, and then we'll stop that. And then we're going to do our fan predictions, and then we'll kind of talk about it through at that point, because I think that's kind of where we're at right now anyways. Okay.
I'm looking, and I'm like, and I love everybody's theories in the chat, what they're saying too. You all say so much that I'm like, oh, I love it. It's hard to catch up.
Do you have one first?
I don't think it's Bernard controlling Dolores. I mean, Ford doing that.
Really?
No. I think he's... Well, okay.
I think it's definitely... And I'll tell you why.
Well, the thing, too, is if we're thinking of Ford being godlike, right? The question is, how active of God is he? Is he watching or is he participating?
I don't know if godlike is the right...
Yeah.
Is the right term.
I would say... Okay, never mind. Go with yours and then I'll...
I think you're kind of right, but I think he's more of like a guardian angel. I think what's interesting is it's important also that he said that he would live like music. I don't think he's going to get a body. I don't think he's coming back to life. And I don't know. I think he might be orchestrating more of this though than we thought,
mm-hmm.
like directly. But I'm so again, I have to watch the episode again, but I'm pretty sure that the beginning intro scene is letterboxed too.
I would have to go back.
I gotta watch it again, but I think so. And if it is, that would mean that it's...
Yes, okay.
That would mean it's part of the part of the cradle. Because all of the stuff with Bernard in the cradle is letterboxed instead of the full screen that everything else is.
Yes. There was a pseudo typo thing, which we noticed, and Sam in the chat brought up that I'm like, I did. I'm like, is that an error or mean something? Which could go in my predictions too. When Elsie was talking, the closed captions, when we saw her off screen, it said Hale was the one who was talking. Could this be a mistake or just something else? I think it's a very bizarre mistake to have, because normally subtitles, that's kind of almost a way to cheat because it says who said it. But then that almost made me wonder how much of that memory was active of Ford, because remember him switching between memories of present and past. Could that have been part of with him with Hale?
Maybe, because we still haven't seen what happens after he's in that lab with Hale. We haven't gotten any of that plot line.
Apparently, Daniel in the chat says opening scene was letterboxed.
See?
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Critchard
says it's current if Ford uses Dolores' face for her connection with Arnold.
I don't think he's literally using Dolores' face.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's in the cradle controlling the simulation of Dolores.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I don't think so. I think that's interesting.
Maybe not. Maybe not. But the letterbox, they're for sure in a simulation. 100% they're in a simulation, that because they're in the letterbox.
Well, could they just be in the cradle? Like when we saw him go in, like we see him go in at the end of the episode, but that was maybe that moment early, shown early. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're definitely in the cradle at that point. Okay. So we're going to just jump. You have any more things you want to talk about for you? And then we'll do fan theories.
No, too much of this, it's almost, I like to let it wash over me in terms of, if you think too much into it ahead, and then you're like, no, I have my crazy theories, right, and go with
it. Okay, here's the one I want to talk about.
Yes, please.
The Ghost Nation thing. The line that he says to Maeve.
We're on the same path.
So what does that mean? Are they awoken? Because they're saving humans. And if they're saving humans, why are they attacking that homestead? Is Maeve's daughter actually a human? Is she like a hybrid? Is like, why are they going there? Why do they want to?
Well, they don't attack the daughter in this round, but they stop at Maeve. True.
Yeah, but they charge out there.
That's
like,
true.
So even then, like, what are they doing there? Who's controlling them? Is that Ford? I don't feel like Ford would be invested in saving humans.
No, not the same way.
Is there a third faction? All right. That's all I got. I mean, I got more. Oh,
Ken in the chat says Maeve is the one off the path.
I think that's pretty clear at this point that she is more awoken than Dolores is.
Yes.
Okay, so we're officially in fan theory territory. Share your theories with us. We've already kind of been doing it anyways, but we'll talk it through.
Critchard says Ghost Nation is woke. That was not an attack, but a rescue.
Who were they rescuing?
Maeve.
But why would they rescue Maeve? Because she's
they're
awoken?
On the same path, yeah.
But what? I mean, I guess we haven't really seen Maeve kill any humans.
Oh, Michael says trying to link up with the woke people. Yeah.
The woke people.
Yeah, they're all gathering together.
Where do we think William is heading? Is he heading to the Mesa? I was thinking that Williams, because we still don't know about Williams' weapon, right? I was thinking that was the cradle, but it seems like the cradle is located in the Mesa, and I don't think that that's where they were going. Plus, we still have the whole flood and all that. There's so much. There's still so much. It's the structure of this season has been insane. This episode, as like the penultimate I thought last episode would be it, which it was still a great episode, but then putting it to six and the way they pulled all six of these plot lines together after developing them is just masterful.
Yes. Hashtag woke in our chat. There we go. What else? Please let us know some of your theories in the chat. If you're watching it later, leave comments down below on what your theories are. It is curious. I'm wondering when Maeve will rejoin or come back within Dolores' path again.
I think she's definitely going to be up against.
Against.
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
I think
yeah.
at this point, I mean, to me, it's pretty clear that they're setting up Maeve to be the good guy and Dolores to be the villain.
Mm.
Or at least that she's playing. I mean, in the context of this show, I think what's very likely is that Dolores will find out that she's playing the role of the villain and not know, and then have to make a choice of whether or not to follow through for the greater good. Like, someone needs to play the villain for this to happen, or she decides to be good instead, or something like that.
I wonder what Maeve's purpose is now for herself, now that she's found her daughter. That was your big drive. Well, now what?
Well, also that she doesn't...
And it's not really your daughter.
She's not your daughter.
Which we've been
and now
saying.
She can't, it's not, she can't just like ignore it like she had been before. Like, no, you can tell me she's not my daughter. That doesn't change how I feel. But when you get there and she's like, I want my mommy. Who are you, strange lady? Like, that's not going to. And especially now with what she's seen, you know, after witnessing Akane and Sakura, is she going to change her daughter's mind and just mind melt her? I don't think so. I think that's completely off the table. So I don't know.
Interesting. Okay. I like this theory. Daniel in the chat says, I think Stubbs is going to screw over the rescue team so Abernathy gets away.
Maybe.
I like that theory. That's fun.
Maybe. I could definitely see him.
Oh, okay. Kevin says, maybe Maeve will get more evil and Dolores more good over time. I don't know. Dolores does seem to be on a darker path.
Maybe. I do want to bring up another theory that I saw. I heard some people talking about. Some people are thinking that the Bernard, like the flashback that we saw last week, is not. It's not Arnold in Bernard. It's Teddy in Bernard, which is an interesting theory to think about.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know if I think that though,
after this episode, it rings as true.
Mm-hmm.
I personally am still on the train that is Arnold. At the end, some other people have been theorizing that the later time scenes that we saw were actually Bernard in the cradle, and they were like simulating, trying to get questions out of him. But I think it's pretty clear at this point that he's not in the cradle. I do think there's still something up with those scenes that they're not telling us, and I think he's Arnold. I think that's what we're seeing, is that within the time gap, some part of Ford's plan is to bring Arnold back as a person, like actually, not just Arnold like Bernard. And somewhere within those weeks, he does it. And then later, when he's waking up on the beach, that's Arnold. And that's why everything he sees, he's like, what is going on?
Like, we did kind of talk about that. Yeah. Like, that's him adjusting to the new body.
Right. Yeah. And knowing what, and I think somewhere in there, they have to have that discussion of, like, it's not like he woke him up and Arnold's like, whoa, where am I? Like, Ford was like, no, I'm bringing you back. Here's the situation. Our kids, basically, because we made them in our image, need a leader or something of that nature. Like, I think that's where we're going.
A few other people are agreeing that Stubbs will be part of... lead or be rebellious.
Yeah, there's definitely importance in showing his personality shift, because he was very like, whatever, they're just robots in the first season, and now he's like wincing. I want to point out ABK88, very biblical image. I agree, but I feel like they could have nailed his feet and his hands. Like, they could have done it in a more way that is symbolic, if they're really, that's really what they're going for. Well, and I don't buy into the Masonic properties of
Here's another comparison, Abernathy. Though. Xavier says Abernathy is literally the Adam nailed to the cross in the basement of Nerve from Evangelion. So that's another very interesting show for sure. I'm just looking at everybody's other chats. Yeah, I mean, I think it was just very literal. Like, well, that's the way to keep him. I was worried they were going to cut his limbs off. That was my first thought. Like, well, we can't get him to go away, but that's sure.
That was my thought, too. Or, like, maybe just break his legs or something, you know? I feel like that was so excessive.
Oh, Daniel in the chat says, will Bernard meet Arnold? And Bernard meet Arnold and have the same reaction as Armistice did to meeting her doppelganger.
Maybe they have like a philosophical discussion of like, what is life, since they're both kind of on the same spectrum in this weird mirror, as we've seen so many parallels this season. All right. That's all the time that we have. We have to wrap. Thank you all for joining us.
Yes. Thank you in the chat. Thank you for your predictions. It's so fun to hear other thoughts. And it's just really interesting to hear different perspectives, because we're all watching the same thing, but everybody's bringing different backgrounds and thought processes.
One of my favorite things about this show is the mysteries that they throw at us and us being able to dissect them. And I love talking with other people because sometimes you see something one way and you have your perspective, and then someone else is like, but what about this? And you go, whoa, I never thought of that. And it's so cool. So yes, thank you guys so much for being involved with the chat. We really appreciate all you guys chiming in. It really helps make the show better. And it really gives us energy as we're up here with you guys.
And your comments are great after too. They're really fun to read through, and it makes thoughts for later, because I know I've read ones from previous weeks. I'm like, oh, new way to go into it for next week.
This show I think about all week. Yes. For sure. Carrie, where can the nice people find you?
You guys can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
All right, guys. My name is Nate Miller. You can find me on all social media at Dog Like Nate. That's dog with two G's. If you play video games tomorrow, 7 o'clock, we're normally at 6, but tomorrow at 7, Inventory Full PT on Twitch. Come check us out. I'm also hosting Dear White People on Wednesdays. We've got lots of guests. If you're watching that show, please come check it out for the second season. Please, if you're watching on YouTube, iTunes, CD player, whatever, please give us 5 stars, leave a comment, give us a thumbs up, tell us you love us, you hate us. We appreciate all the feedback. We'll be back here next week talking about our favorite show. Thank you guys very much.
See ya.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Deep and dreamless slumber.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.